In case you missed it, or maybe you're just not all that interested, last week, Tuesday, in fact, the annual budget was revealed with the expected goal of minimising concerns over the lack of focus last year's budget had on women's economic security and safety. Now, however, despite the supposed extra focus on women's financial issues, some are saying that the budget makes little to no difference at providing a solution to these issues. With us now to discuss this perspective is Professor Elizabeth Hill, head of the Department of Political Economy at Sydney University. How's it going, Elizabeth?
Fine, thanks.
Thanks so much for joining the show. I do appreciate your time. So first off, I suppose on the surface, the budget boasts $3.4 billion, I should say, as a package. My apologies, only 1,000 times greater, with a fraction of it going to either childcare or domestic violence services. How exactly does this package, I suppose, fall short as far as you're concerned of tackling the real economic issues that women face?
Thanks for having me this morning. I think the pivot to additional investment in parts of our social infrastructure, things like aged care that was crying out for additional investment on the back of the Royal Commission, secured care for the NDIS and a bit of extra care for childcare. A bit of extra money for childcare. Mm-hmm. Those things are positive, but I think what we can see is that the structural reform required in those sectors and in other parts of the economy to deliver women the opportunity for long-term economic security and set them on an equal footing with men in the labour market, well, that's really missing. Things like an extension and a redesign of the national paid parental leave system so it supports fathers and mothers to care for new babies, mm-hmm. and also a bolder move towards universal access for low or free early childhood education and care. Those things are missing in this budget, and so we wouldn't expect these additional measures and the long list that are included in the Women's Budget Statement to make any substantive difference to women's economic security and safety.
Sure thing. Are we taking a couple of steps forward in the right direction, though? Like, it had been addressed greater than it, well, I suppose more than it had been in the 2020 budget. Granted, we had this global pandemic that we kind of had to nip in the bud, or at least we tried to last year. But are we moving further towards it? Are we going to see things like the disparity in kind of wages between men and women addressed going forward? Obviously, last year was a pretty dire year as far as kind of domestic violence statistics were concerned. Are we getting somewhere, or I don't know.
Yeah, good question. Look, last budget we got nothing. So is something better than nothing? Kind of.
Yeah.
My colleagues in the women's safety space, I know many of them are very pleased with the additional funding for domestic violence. That's not my area of expertise. On the women's economic security side of things,
sure.
I would say that no, we're not going to see, you know, these measures aren't going to deliver substantive changes for women. So, for example, the additional $1.7 billion in extra funding for childcare subsidies, this is a very modest addition, and that's over 3 years. Annually, we spend about $10 billion on ECEC subsidies. But the thing about that addition is that it's very finely targeted to those with two or more children under six in approved services. And it actually, because of the targeting, it means that it makes an already complex system even more complex. And you'll notice in the budget there's no addressing of the low wages that women receive in any of the care sectors, so whether it's childcare or aged care. So in spite of the $17.7 billion investment in aged care, and more is needed in order to address the concerns and the recommendations listed by the Royal Commission, there's no attention paid to the wages of women. So economic security for women is largely driven by their workforce participation and the wages in which they earn. And this is linked to superannuation. So we know that the government has been concerned about or talked about closing the superannuation gap. They have taken away they have abolished the $450 per month income threshold under which employers don't have to pay the super guarantee. Estimated to affect around a couple of 100,000 women, but these are very small amounts of money. So symbolically, that's an important measure, but it's not going to change the gender gap in retirement savings, so which are, you know, women have about half that which men have. What's going to change the superannuation gap and the retirement income gap is improving women's wages so that women who dominate highly feminized sectors are paid a decent wage, on the top of which superannuation is paid. So we don't see any of those structural changes in this budget.
Sure. What is there, just lastly, sorry, we are getting towards the end of the show, Elizabeth, but we saw like kind of in the UK, it was thrown around that we might, or they might rather kind of adopt quotas of sorts for women in parliament and such. If we saw a greater percentage of women in parliament in Australia, do you think that, I don't know, the neglect that possibly kind of the issues that affect women might be mitigated somewhat?
Well, I think you can kind of get the answer to that question from if you look at the policy platforms of the Coalition and the ALP at the moment. The ALP went to the last election with an extremely women-friendly, in inverted commas, gender equal policy platform, and they have, you know, they've reached much more equality in the representation in Parliament compared to the Coalition, who we know has a real problem in terms of representation of women, and they have done much more poorly on the kinds of policy strategies that they've developed to address gender equality. So I think even here we can see how the influence that just the sheer number of women sitting in our parliament might have on the kinds of policy initiatives that are put forward by the different parties.
Absolutely. Well, fingers crossed then, we're looking at a different state of play maybe in years to come. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. I do appreciate your time. Have a good week, and all the best with your studies and work going forward.
Thanks so much.
Cheers.
See you later.
I appreciate it. Now, that was Professor Elizabeth Hill from the University of Sydney talking about the budget that was released just last week, the federal budget, I should say, how it's supposedly tackling issues that affect women and maybe some of the downfalls with that as well.